ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This text number 41 and 42 we will recite and then we will discuss.
Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam Shrimadurjitamevava Tattat devavagacchatvam Mamate jomsha sambhavam.
Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Text 42.
Atava bahunaitena kimyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyahamidam krishnam ekamshena stito jagat.
But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So, as I said earlier in one of the classes, that Krishna speaks of 82 opulences in this chapter. But just before Krishna begins to speak, you will see Arjuna asking a question in the 17th shloka as well as the 18th one. Katam vidyamaham yogim stvam sadava parichintayan keshu keshu jabaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. And then he said, vistarenatmano yogam. Explain to me elaborately, Krishna, all your opulences. Now we may wonder, now Krishna can respond that Arjuna, I already told you everything emanates from me, isn't it? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me. When you say like that, then everything is included. Why to say separately, individually? So Krishna can say like that. But in response to that, Arjuna is saying in this verse that I am never satisfied in hearing about you. For the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. So Arjuna is saying that hearing your opulences, Krishna, is so nectarian that I am becoming more and more greedy to hear about you, hear about your glories. So I am begging you to tell me more about yourself. Don't try to make it too short. Just say that everything comes from me, that's not enough. And tell me about you more. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, at one point you tell Sukadeva Goswami, don't think that, you know, I have not eaten or I have not drunk water, I have not eaten anything, I have not slept for so many days. Don't try to cut short the pastimes. Tell me elaborately, he says. Because the nectarian pastimes of the Lord are so satisfying to heart that hunger, thirst, everything flies away. He says like that. In the same way, Arjuna also here, like Prabhupada quotes the word spoken by the Shaunakada Rishi. Vayam na vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame yatashinvatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. He quotes that. Swadu swadu pade pade. The pastimes of the Lord are so nectarian that one is vitrupyam, na vitrupyama. One will never be satiated by hearing about them. You see, the cinema songs or the movies, even if a movie runs for 365 days in a year, after that people become bored. Sometimes they put movies for a very long time, isn't it? At one point of time you get bored with any song or with any movie. But the large pastimes are the same, spoken so many times. Like you see Krishna dancing on Kaliya, or Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, or you know, Krishna's Rasa dance. Actually, every year we celebrate Govardhan, isn't it? Govardhan and Puja we celebrate every year. Or we celebrate this Sharat Purnima every year. And we discuss the same pastimes. But the large pastimes, as explained by one great Acharya, he says, yeah, you all can come inside so you'll be able to see later. So one Acharya is saying, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna pada aravinde navanava rasadamanudyata rantumasit navanava rasadaman, he says. Navanava rasa means it's newer and newer rasa one gets in there. Like we're chanting also every day, huh? Like when you chant Hare Krishna, it's like a gradually a cloud uncovering a sun. Initially there's a thick, dark, dense cloud. You just can't see the sun. It's like pitch dark night. And as one chants, then gradually the clouds become dull. And gradually the ray of sunlight is seen in the early morning in the east side. There's a light. Like that the holy name also starts having effect. And then as one starts chanting more and more, then the full sun manifests. So in chanting of Hare Krishna also, the same mantra we chant. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years we chant. And in fact, one's taste for the holy name is increasing when one chants. Instead of becoming bored. That's why here also, Arjuna is telling that it's very nectarian to hear about you, Krishna. So please speak more and more, he's saying. Also, we should remember, in the 6th chapter end, what did Krishna say? What was the last verse Krishna said? We'll repeat that verse. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yoma same yukta tamo mataha. Same yukta tama is not a yukta tara, or is not a yukta or a yukta tara. Yukta tama is the topmost. Yukta means engaged. Yukta tara means more nicely engaged. Yukta tama means the topmost. Same yukta tama mataha. That devotee, that person is the greatest person. Who? He says, madgate nantaratmana. Who thinks of me in his heart, always. So now Arjuna is thinking, oh, Krishna told in 6th chapter that one who thinks of him always is the topmost personality, topmost devotee. Then again Krishna repeated something similar in the 9th chapter, 9.34. What was it verse? Manmana bhavamad bhakto. He said manmana, isn't it? One who thinks of me. So Krishna has two times said already before, one who thinks of me is the best devotee. Not only that, Krishna said in that verse, aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam prabhutate. Iti matva, use the word matva, that means one who is convinced that everything emanates from me. What will such a person do? Iti matva bhajante maam. He will do bhajan for me. So Arjuna, keeping these things in mind, that Krishna is telling me to think of him, and Krishna wants me to be convinced of his opulences also. So because he wants to be convinced, he is asking him for more. So that by hearing about his opulences, gradually he can understand Krishna's greatness and become convinced of him. That is why he wants to know. Like that Acharya has given explanation why Arjuna is seeking. Now, as we said in the beginning of this chapter, I am going to remind the same point which we discussed just in the beginning of this 10th chapter. This chapter is Vibhuti Yoga, or opulences of the Absolute. Why do we want to know the opulences of the Absolute? You know, the first verse we were discussing, that say if you meet one of your friends, he just twitches his finger and immediately so many servants come, appear on site, and one person is bringing some nice delicious foods, another person is fanning, another person is bringing the shoes, and different things different people are bringing, then you will understand that my friend is not an ordinary person, he's a very great person. So in school days we studied together, I thought he's an ordinary person. Now I understand that he's a very great person now. He's become a millionaire now. So you feel yourself fortunate to be a friend of such a person. Is it not? That I have friendship with such a great person. Same way, here when Krishna describes his opulences, as explained in the 9th chapter, the understanding of the opulences should lead to increasing devotion to Krishna. We should increase our conviction to surrender to Krishna when we hear his opulences. Just like police has the power, isn't it? When they show the gun, immediately we lift the hands. Hands up, isn't it? Because we have no power and they have power. Similarly, when one knows the Lord's opulences, immediately one surrenders, understanding how great is the Lord. And also one feels how fortunate I am to be, to be performing devotion for such a great personality, one who is the greatest personality, like that. Now, is it possible for us to understand the Lord, our Lord's opulences? Let us see who can say answer to this question. Is it possible for us to understand the Lord's opulences? Krishna, we can understand, and he is saying when Krishna reveals. Yeah. See, we cannot understand Krishna's opulences because of our limited senses. So all of you get 100%. At the same time, Tulasi Prabhu also gets 100%. We can understand the opulences of the Lord to some extent when the Lord reveals it to us. So is it sometimes one may consider it a contradiction? We can't understand Lord and we can understand Lord. How is it? And that contradiction is resolved by this point, that when Lord reveals some of his opulences, and by learning about some of them, we can understand by getting a sample of it. Then you can understand, God must be much, much more great. Maybe I can understand a little bit of him. You can understand everything about him. You get a sample. So that is possible. See, when Krishna reveals his opulences here, we shouldn't think, now I understood God in totality. That is impossible. That is why many of you raised hand. Because no one can claim to understand the Lord in totality. Even Balaram, I was telling in one of the classes, right? And Balaram saw, he was thinking, what's happening? He was thinking all the cows are giving milk to the bigger calves. And all the fathers are embracing their children as if they have got too much love today. And I was wondering, what's... Balaram had to think deeply. How Krishna's potencies are playing, what to speak of us? We are tiny entities. So, we have to know that when Lord wants to reveal some of his opulences to his devotee, then he can reveal. Then we can understand him to some extent. So, in the 7th chapter, Krishna explains what are his different energies there. So, understanding the Lord's energies and how they are acting is very important to know the Lord's greatness. And after knowing that, so let me remind a few examples. What all we learned in the 7th chapter? What did Krishna say? He says he is the essence and cause of everything. He says he is the essence of water and the cause of water. So he says rasoham apsukaunteya. He says I am the taste of water. So I am the original taste of water. If there are any tastes in this world, the original taste actually comes from Krishna. Maybe somebody may make some chemical flavor, make some rasna or something. That is imitation. But the original comes from Krishna. Krishna says, I am the original taste. The original fragrance of the earth. Punyoganda prithivyamcha tejas chasmi vibhavasav jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu. So many things he says. Balam balavatam chaham. I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent people. Buddhir buddhimatamasmi. I am the prowess of the powerful men. And I am the light of the sun. He says, what is the voice which says? Prabhasmi shashi surya yo. I am the light of the moon. I am the light of the sun. And pranava sarva vedi shabda ke paurusham drushu. I am the ability in man to perform activity. So we studied very elaborately about that, about each of them, about how like Hiranyakashipu's power is also coming from the Lord. Prahlad's power is also coming from the Lord. Everyone's power is coming from him. In fact, when he says buddhi buddhimatamasmi, he says that I am the intelligence of the intelligent people. What about the intelligence of the less intelligent people? What do you think? Is it not Krishna? That is also Krishna. No. Yes. How? Why Krishna says buddhir buddhimatam asmi, he says. And the intelligence of the intelligent. Yeah, why he says like that?
It's because for us to understand
more. He says I am intelligence of the intelligent. because we are more attracted to the intelligent people than less intelligent ones. We are more attracted to beautiful people than the ugly ones. And we are more attracted to strong people than the weaklings. So because of that he says, I am the strength of the strong. Actually strength of everyone. But he, by saying so, he wants us to know that wherever you find these opulences and energies, don't think that they are existing independently. They are actually existing because of me. Like that he says. So the difference between the 7th chapter explanations and this 10th chapter is, in 7th chapter Krishna explains about energies and how they are acting. Whereas here he is explaining about his manifestations and opulences in a more specific way. In this chapter we will be studying, we will be seeing them. So last class I gave an introduction where I did not talk about the one which I am talking now. See, there are two ways one can perceive the absolute truth. Seeing the absolute truth everywhere when we say, for example, like a jnani, he sees the soul in everybody. You know this verse, vidya avaniya sampanne brahmane gavihastani shuni chaiva shvapakecha pandita samadarshina. So jnani can see that in everybody there is a soul. The similar soul is present in everybody. There is similar quality soul is present in everybody. Jnani can see that. But when Krishna says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati, Tasyaham Na Pranashyami, Sachamena Pranashyati. When he says that, what he means is very important. We can see Krishna in two ways, as I was telling just now. One is, by seeing the physical manifestations around us, we can try to remember the Lord. Like Prabhupada gave the example, when somebody sees his spectacles, Prabhupada's spectacles, immediately the disciples will remember that, you know, this is Prabhupada's spectacles, like that. Just like a mother, you know, like a mother when she sees the child's sandals, immediately the thought of the child comes, isn't it? By seeing those different energies or different belongings, or you see the coat of a person, tie of a person, suitcase, you know, or anything like that. So by seeing the manifestations, one is supposed to remember the person. That's very important. So there are two things, Lord and his energies. But when you see the energy, you should remember the energetic. That's very important. We should not be stuck up in the energies. Like, you know, Mayavadis or impersonalists, they say actually you can meditate on anything. They say you can meditate on a monkey or a stone or anything. You just need concentration. They say like that. You just take any object you like. If you like Ganesha, you take Ganesha. If you like Shiva, you take Shiva. Or if you like some monkey, you take a monkey. Or if you want a tree, you take a tree. All you just need is one object for attention, so that, you know, your mind is not wandering to wrong things. This is their understanding. And they say everything is God, they say. Is that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? What do you think? Is everything God like that? So in one sense, everything is God. Can anybody say, how is it? Like, this is also God. How is this mic God? Yeah? Somebody else who hasn't answered? Yeah? She's saying everything is energy of God. So in one sense it can be called God. Like this is energy of Krishna. What energy is it? Yeah, what energy it is? Material energy. Bhumi, Rapo, Analo, Vaju, Kam, Manah, Buddhi, Revacha, Ahankara, Etiyamme, Bhinna, Bhinname, Prakritrashada, he says. Like you see, as soon as you see the milk, immediately what comes to your mind? Cow. With cow's milk. So the milk is called as a separated energy from the cow. Like Prabhupada gave the example of his own voice in the cassette. When you hear Prabhupada's cassette, it appears to you as if Prabhupada has come there. It is, you know, so powerful. So the energy is coming from the energetic. That's very important. Like I'm sitting in this room. All of a sudden, a stone is flung by somebody. It comes into the room and it hits the television and it breaks the glass. So what would I do next? Immediately I'll peep out of the window to see who threw the stone. Because if something comes with energy, that behind that energy there has to be energetic. That's very important. There is no energy without energetic. So that's why the Mayavadi understanding is incomplete about the absolute truth, thinking that everything is God, like that. But what Krishna wants us to do is to see the different opulences and manifestations and energies and how they are acting, see all these things, and ultimately what he wants us to do? To see him behind these energies. So a lower way of seeing Krishna is to see his energies. And remember, oh, the sun is so powerful. Aditya hrudayam punyam sarvashoka pranashanam. They chant, no? So that is for Aditya, they chant. So they chant for Surya, because the Surya is considered a very great, greatest manifestation in the Vedic, way of worship. So when you see the sun, when you see the moon, you worship Soma, you worship the sun, you worship Varuna, you worship Indra, Chandra, all the powerful manifested energies behind which there are some presiding deities. You worship them. But then Krishna says, after seeing all of them, you have to know that all these personalities are getting power from me only. Ultimately, I am behind the whole thing. Like a sutre manigana iva, he said. Like a, you know, like a string that puts all the pearls together. Like this. I am like that, Krishna says. So the lower way of seeing Krishna is to see the physical manifestations and try to remember him. Like that. Try to remember that everything comes from God. But a higher way of seeing Krishna is to directly remember him. In what form? In the beautiful Shyam Sundar form, about which we were discussing in the last class elaborately. So in today's class we are discussing the lower aspect, where one wants to see the physical manifestations to remember God. So that is why here Arjuna is asking, Katam vidyamaham yogin stvam sada parichintayan. How can one think of you, Krishna, always? How is it possible? Because generally the conditioned souls are not devotional minded. They just don't have any love for you. What to speak of spontaneous love? They don't have any attraction for you. In the very first place, they don't know whether you are God or not. The very first place. They don't know. Love comes in a very mature stage. First of all, one has to have a respect and reverence for Krishna as God. They don't even have that. So how are the common living entities going to think of you at every moment? You are saying, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, become my devotee, think of me. But how can they think of you? They have not yet developed attraction for you, a love for you. So tell me something that is very easy for a common man to follow. How they can understand your greatness and think of you. So any common man or common woman, anybody, would certainly appreciate wherever there is some vibhuti. Vibhuti means the opulence that stands out very uniquely. And for example, say if there are, you know, 10 people, 10 guests coming to your place, but if one person is extremely beautiful in that, is a very beautiful personality, you know, is very tall, very fair, has curly hair, he has rosy hands, very handsome looking. So he stands out, isn't it? Same thing with woman also, whether it's man or woman. If somebody, is there anybody here who doesn't understand what beauty is? You have difficulty understanding what beauty is. Anyone here? Beauty, nobody needs to teach you about that. If somebody is little extra beautiful, they stand out. The beauty is such that even without much decoration or ornaments, they are beautiful, some people, isn't it? They are created like that. That's a particular vibhuti some people have. Even when they get up in the morning from their bed, their hair is not properly combed, you know, still they are beautiful. Because that's how the, of course in cinema they put too much of, you know, makeup and everything. But what I'm saying is, it's possible for one to be beautiful naturally from creation. Even they don't know that they are beautiful. Some other people, actually later on they come to know, when too many people tell them, you know, hey, you are very beautiful, 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 then they come to know. They become very proud. So this is one vibhuti, like beauty. Same thing with intelligence. Like, you know, when I was studying in the college, you know, sometimes this, you know, theory of machines, you know, or some problems our professor used to solve, you know. So there will always be three or four people, you know, they would talk, 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 they will be answering and the professor will be proceeding, and most other people will be thinking it's all like Greek and Latin, you know, writing on the board. The three, four boys will be shouting, sir, you know, put that alpha, put omega, put delta, you know. They're putting, you know, cancelling and solving the problem. you know, when he goes to the second board, most of the boys are already, it goes over their head, you know. Yeah, but certain people are able to understand. They have that intelligence. So they are standing out in their intelligence. They have intelligence like that. Yes. So like that we can see opulence and power. Some people are extremely strong and rugged. You have seen some people, by looking at them you become afraid. That person should not beat me up. Very strong and rugged. So they have this opulence of strength. Like you see the weightlifters. What kind of strength they have. So the Lord in this chapter is going to tell of such vibhutis, where there are personalities in this world, personalities and beings which have certain traits or qualities which are standing out, which stand out in comparison to the common people, and nobody can deny them. They are like, you know, they are famous for that. Like, you know, every country is famous for something. Swiss is famous for what? Watches, yeah. And Germany is famous for? Yeah, machines. Gulf is famous for? Oil. India is famous for? Special knowledge. Isn't it? In the same way, every living being, it stands out in something. Like for example, lion. Lion is the king of the forest. You see, lion may be only this much high. Elephant is this much high. But a lion has the ability to knock down an elephant. Do you know that? One blow if the lion gives on the ear of the elephant will be knocked off. Although the elephant is a huge animal, lion is very powerful. So Krishna will say, I am lion amongst animals. So this is one example. So the Lord in this chapter will tell us how whatever opulences you see standing out, when you see those opulences, you should know that that opulence is me, the Lord explains. However, common living entity is able to possess such outstanding opulence, which is not available with everyone. The Lord says, actually I have empowered them, and because of me they are able to show such things. So when you see them possessing such opulence, whom should you remember? I should remember me. You should remember Krishna, he says. Like that. That's the whole idea. When you look at the sun having such power, or when you look at the beauty, I mean, look at the strength, and look at the intelligence and all these things, we should remember him. So he'll be giving a list of personalities. Before we see the slideshow, if we go through it, it'll be helpful. So when we see it, it'll be easy for us, because it's time to show. So things will be changing quite rapidly. You have to watch very attentively. So before we go to that, we will read it, so that we have some knowledge of it, and then when we see the slideshow, we'll be able to catch up. So if you all have Bhagavad Gita with you, in text number 19, the Lord is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. Sit here. Lord is saying that I'm going to tell you my opulences. Prabhupada says here, it is not possible to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his opulences. The senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. Still, the devotees try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand Krishna fully at any specific time or in any state of life. Rather, the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. Thus, the devotees enjoy them. In discussing Krishna's opulences and his divine energies, the pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. Therefore, they want to hear and discuss them. See, a jnani wants to hear of these opulences. Why? For understanding the absolute truth. For capturing the absolute truth. That is the idea of a jnani trying to understand this knowledge. Whereas a bhakta, when a devotee hears these opulences, what he thinks? He feels that I am just hearing a small drop of the opulences of Krishna. Krishna is very, very great. So hearing about his opulences arouses loving devotional service in the heart of a devotee, and devotee derives great pleasure by that. That's why he wants to hear, not to, you know, trap Krishna. Okay, Krishna is only this much, finish, now I understood him, that's it. It's not like that. There is no end to understanding him, and that Krishna says in the last chapter, last verse of this chapter, he says that, you know, what can I say about me, Arjuna? You know, there are limitless things to say. I'm just giving you something representative, so that you can get some idea of who I am. like that he says. He begins with this, text 20. I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle and the end of all beings. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon. So Prabhupada explains here, if you see the purport of the text 21. See, there are 50 varieties of wind blowing in space. In fact, there are even names of each of them in Sanskrit, the Shastras. And of these winds, the controlling deity Marichi represents Krishna. And another interesting thing Prabhupada explains here, it appears from this verse that the moon is also one of the stars. Therefore, the stars that twinkle in the sky also reflect the light of the sun. The theory that there are many suns within the universe is not accepted by Vedic literature. The sun is one, and as by the reflection of the sun and moon illuminates, so also do the stars. Since Bhagavad Gita indicates herein that the moon is one of the stars, the twinkling stars are not suns but are similar to the moon. So, amongst the scientists there is a notion that many of the twinkling objects are actually many suns in the universe. That is their understanding. But here, as it is explained, there is only one prominent sun, but all the luminous objects derive power from the sun to give light. Like even this tube light which is giving light now, you know the mechanism how it gives light. When you put on the switch, by electrical impulse, a kind of powder, what is that? Fluorescent thing. So that has already absorbed the light energy and kept. And later on it is giving out. But where did it get the light energy from? From the sun. That is explained in the Shastra. There are many objects, just like a simple example is the coal, for example. See, when the when the trees and other things, they get submerged in the ground. They go down, down, deeper and deeper. What happens inside due to the heat? The coal is formed, isn't it? And they absorb the heat and keep. Later on, when you dig them out and take it, then you can use it for burning, isn't it? And they give out the heat energy like that. In the same way, all the stars and the moon and everything we see, they actually get light from the sun. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Yatharka Ugnir Yathasamo Yataraksha Graha Taraka. Brahmaji says that. All the luminaries in the sky, they actually get light from the sun. So Krishna says, I am that sun, he says. And somebody may say, oh, sun is very hot, it is scorching. Okay, Krishna says, I am the moon also, which is very cooling. And then he says, of the Vedas, I am Sama Veda. Why? Because amongst the Vedas, Sama Veda is the most sweetest. In our family, one pujari used to come regularly. Every family belongs to some Veda. They have Sama Veda, Ajurveda, like that. So they used to sing very beautifully. The Sama, actually Sama and Rig, they have the same verses. But in Sama, the same Rig verses are sung in a particular meter, very sweetly. Of the demigods, I am Indra. Why? Because Indra is the king of all demigods, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. So mind is also considered one of the senses. That's why it's counted as 11. 5 karmendriyas, 5 jnanendriyas and 1 mind. So amongst all of them, which is most powerful? Mind, because mind is the center and all the senses are giving input to the mind. So he is saying, I am the mind, he says. And in living beings, I am the living force, consciousness. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kubera. So Kubera is actually the master of the Yakshas. And Kubera possesses all the wealth of the demigods. Of the Vasus, I am Agni. And of the mountains, I am Meru. So these are the best of the lot he is talking about. Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati. Just as Indra is the king of the demigods, Brihaspati is the chief priest among all the priestly demigods. Brihaspati is the chief. Of generals, I am Kartikeya. Kartikeya is actually Devasenapati. He is actually the commander-in-chief of all the devatas in fighting. In the army, in devatas army, he is the chief. Under the body is a water, I am the ocean. I am not a pond or I am not a river, but I am the ocean. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibration, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So we can do one type of research to find out each of these things or personalities. You can make a list, and what is special about them, we can find out more details. Like for example, I was telling about Brihaspati or Kartikeya. Like that, if you take one opulence and try to find out what are they famous for. If you do a little research in the scriptures, you will find that they all stand out in comparison to others. Bhrigu is very famous for tapasya, Bhrigu. And similarly, the Om is considered the most supreme combination of letters. A, U, Ma. Akaram, Ukaram, Makara. Three things. Supreme combination of letters that actually liberates one from this world. Of sacrifices and the chanting of the holy names. Amongst all the combination of words, which is the supreme combination? Yajnanam, Japa, Yajnosmi, says. Japa which we do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And of immovable things, I am Himalayas. Actually, even Meru, one acharya has written a commentary to this. He says, even Meru mountain probably can be moved, but Himalayas cannot be moved. He says, that's why he is saying, amongst the immovable, I am the Himalayas. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree, the most royal tree, majestic tree. And of the sages, among demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarata. So, Gandharvas are very famous for singing. The Prabhupada writes in the purport here, the Gandharva planet is filled with entities who sing beautifully. And among them, the best singer is Chitrarath. And among perfected beings, I am sage Kapila, son of Devahuti. Of horses, know me to be Uchishrava, produced during the churning of the ocean of nectar. Of lordly elephants, I am Airavat. And among men, I am the monarch or the king. So the Uchishrava is a horse and Airavat is an elephant which came during the churning of the milk ocean. So they are not ordinary horse or ordinary elephant. They are very unique and special. Airavat is a white elephant. Anybody has seen a white elephant? And it has many tusks, not one. Several tusks. And also Uchishrava is a very unique horse endowed with several powers. So these came out during the churning of milk ocean. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt, which is the weapon of Indra. Among cows, I am the Surabhi cow. Of causes for procreation, I am Kandarpa, or the Madan, god of love. And of serpents, I am Vasuki. Of the many-hooded Nagas, I am Ananta, Anantashesh. And among the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Ariyama, who was officiating the post of Vidura, who was officiating the post of Yamaraj, when Yamaraj was in the form of Vidura at that time. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the lord of death. Among the Daitya demons, I am devoted Prahalad. So can there be a better person than Prahalad in the demoniac clan, demoniac family? Anybody better than Prahalad? So Lord says, I am Prahalad, even in the demoniac family. Among subduers, I am time. There is no power in this world which is considered better than the time factor in subduing people. Catch them by the neck, capture them with its clutches and subdue them. No power in this world is as powerful as time, which manifests itself as death. Among beasts, I am the lion. I was telling about this example, lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Parashuram. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, Rajavidya. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Because among logicians, there are three types of arguments among the logicians called as, one is called as Jalpa, Vitanda and Vada, three things. So Vitanda means just arguing by trying to give more and more support the evidences to prove your own point, and try to defeat the opposite point. Whether yours is correct or not, you want to prove it. That is called as Vitanda, they call it. Just arguing and try to disprove the other person's point. And Jalpa is even more dangerous. Jalpa means even trying to deceive the other person by giving wrong information to win over an argument. That is Jalpa. But Vada is a righteous way of arguing, where you are ready to hear the other person and you also give argument, and then you are honest in your argument in order to prove the real truth. So the Lord is saying here, Vadaha Prabhadatamaham. I am actually Vada. I am not Jalpa, I am not Vitanda, I am Vada, he says. And then he says, of the letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. And I am also inexhaustible time. And of creators, I am Brahma. I am all devouring death. And I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. So these are all qualities of women, feminine qualities. Krishna says, I am all these qualities. So all the best qualities in women Krishna has taken here. He is saying all these good qualities is him. Of the hymns in the Samaveda, I am Brihat Sama. And of poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Margashish, November, December. And of seasons, I am flower bearing, spring. I am also the gambling of cheats. Now somebody may be surprised. He says, Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi. I am also the gambling of cheats, he is saying. So some people have difficulty. One person had come here years ago. So he was saying that, you know, this must be a mistake in Bhagavad Gita. Saying, you know, some commentators and some writers later on must have made some adjustment in Bhagavad Gita like this, you know, because all the things Lord is saying is all positive. How can he say something negative about himself? He says, I am also the gambling of cheats, he is saying. But actually it is true. Prabhupada explains here, there are many kinds of cheaters all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. As the supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man. If Krishna chooses to deceive a person, no one can surpass him in his deceit. His greatness is not simply one-sided, it is all-sided. See, Prabhupada explains. So, actually people often have a notion that religious people are, you know, timid people. Religious people all the time, you know, they talk of goodness and they all the time talk of being good, being humble. And God is also like that, you know. These devotees are on the God's side and God is on the devotee's side. So God also must be timid. But Krishna is not a timid God. He shows, oh, you want to know, you are a cheater, I will become a better cheater than you. And Lord has cheated many people like that, those who tried to cheat him. Millions have got cheated by him. So there are so many pastimes in Bhagavatam also. Who knows one pastime where Krishna cheated someone? In gopis, and gopis are devotees. Who is that? Kalayavan. How did Kalayavan try to cheat Krishna? What did he try to do? How did he try to cheat him? Kalayavan chased Krishna, but there was one Jarasandha, isn't it? You know Jarasandha pastime, who Jarasandha wanted to kill Krishna Balaram, you know. At that time, Krishna Balaram climbed up a mountain, a very high mountain, isn't it? And this fellow thought, you know, I will put fire all over the mountain, and then the fire will go higher and higher, and then these two people, ultimately they are on the top of the mountain, you know. They have to be burnt, they will be totally roasted, they will be finished. So his idea was that, you know, if Krishna tries to walk down from the top, he will find fire everywhere, you know. And where will he go up? He can't go up anywhere. So I will set fire in all the directions, so he can't, you know, come back. But you know what Krishna Balaram did? Anybody knows? Duryodhan? Oh, that is another example. In this example I am asking, what did Krishna do? Krishna Balaram. They did a high and long jump, both. A very long distance, I think. How much distance was there, anybody know? 80 miles from high, he jumped off, both of them. And nothing happened to them, you know. None of his bones broke. Why? Because he has a Sachidananda body. Nothing happened to him. Yeah. So, somebody may try to trick Krishna. And then actually he thought, you know, Krishna must have died, he thought. Later on Krishna subdued him. Krishna is very intelligent like that. Yeah, Putana also cheated. Yeah, you can tell that example. You are welcome to tell that example. I was expecting that. Putana's example, yeah. Putana tried to cheat Krishna and Krishna cheated her again. Yes? Hiranyakashipu used his intelligence to trick the Lord to get immortality. Yeah? I should not die in the day, not in the night, not in the sky, not on land and everything. Lord fulfilled all criteria and cheated him. Killed him, you see. Yeah, that's a perfect example. Very, very fitting example. Went to steal the property of Krishna, you know, all the jewelry in Krishna's body. But what happened to him? Yeah, he became a devotee later. Actually, it happens even in the modern times. It's not only in the old times. You see, many people come to ISKCON for various ulterior motives. Many motives. Like one fellow came to one of our ISKCON temples. Actually, that fellow, he was having all kinds of bad habits. He was smoking and drinking and all bad habits. But when his age came to marry, he told his parents, "I heard that, you know, people who go to temple and who worship God, and I want a very pure girl, you know. I don't want to marry any ordinary girl. I have seen so many nasty girls in my college, you know. I want to marry one who is, you know, going to temple and worshipping God." So he came to ISKCON. He came to ISKCON, and it's a real story. You know? He came to ISKCON, and then he came to ISKCON for looking at girls. Can you imagine? He was seeing all the girls who are passing by, coming. Every day he would take a survey. At last he spotted one girl. He decided to marry her. Later on that fellow became initiated devotee. Can you imagine? So he spotted her, somehow he got married to her. Parents talked and everything. That fellow later on Krishna dragged him inside. Krishna made him a devotee. So somebody thinks, actually even people who try to hoard lot of money, Krishna will sometimes trick them and take all the money away. You know? Yeah. How Krishna will act in a person's life is very difficult to say. Yeah. Like this thief example, he said, it's a very nice example. You go to steal from Krishna. Like, you know, one boy said, "I am coming to your classes to learn good English, you know. You people are all talking in English always." You know, he came to, actually he was preparing for GRE. And after coming to class, he gave up his idea to go abroad. Totally. Yeah. Then he said, "I'll better remain in India only, you know." So, in this way, Krishna has tricked many people. But Krishna's tricking is also absolute. Like Bali Maharaj was tricked by Krishna, isn't it? Krishna cheated him, but his cheating is also absolute. So the meaning of being absolute means it has a beneficial effect. Like when we cheat the people in the world, it causes harm to them. It causes them some inconvenience, trouble. But when Krishna cheats someone, what happens? Yeah, it becomes beneficial. Brahma stole all the cows to make him humble. He cheated Indra also. Like, you know, Indra thought, you know, Govardhan lifted. Actually, Indra later on in his prayer says, "Krishna, you are such a wonderful God that, you know, instead of directly fighting with me, you know, instead of arguing with me, fighting with me, you never had any encounter with me. You silently went and told the Vajavasis, you worship Govardhan and you lifted the Govardhan and saved all of them, you know, and I was in trouble. And I was wondering, you know, you gave shelter to all Vajavasis and you smashed my ego." So he's a very wonderful God. She's saying Chaitanya Leela that took away Nimai Pandit. Small, yeah. Lord tricked them and brought them to the same house of Sachimata. Yeah. So he's saying, of the cheaters, I am the best cheater. Yeah. Vrishni naam Vasudevosmi. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudeva. And of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa. And among great thinkers, I am Ushana. Ushana means Shukracharya, most intelligent personality. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am the wisdom. Furthermore, Arjuna, here Krishna is winding up the opulence of Jesus said, I am the generating seed of all existence. Yachapi sarvabhutanam bijam tadaham Arjuna. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. See, this is a very important sentence. Na tadasti vina yatsya yatsyan maya bhutam characharam. There is no characharam in this world which can exist without me. It's impossible. Even a atheist cannot breathe without my mercy. Atheist cannot even speak a word without me giving him grains to eat. So Lord is saying every living being in this world is existing only because of him. And then he says, O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Spark of my splendor. That is, all the things you see opulent, beautiful, glorious, they all spring from a small spark of splendor, which means, like once Prabhupada was telling a disciple, one of Prabhupada's disciples had kept Mataji's photo in the altar. So Prabhupada became very angry and he scolded the disciple. And he said, no, Prabhupada, you know, this Mataji introduced me to Krishna consciousness and we were selling. So that time Prabhupada said that all this is lusty attraction, and he was condemning. And then he said something very interesting. He said, the beauty of the women of this world in comparison to the beauty of the heavenly dancers, if you compare them, he said, the most beautiful woman in this world will be like a cockroach. He said, like say Miss India or Miss Earth. Miss Earth is there? Miss Universe, okay. Universe, how they take in the universe? They don't know about other planets. Okay. So Miss India or Miss Earth, if you take. Miss World, yeah. Miss Earth, if you take, she will be like how? Like a cockroach in comparison to the heavenly damsels, he said. And the heavenly damsels in comparison to Lakshmi, goddess of fortune in the spiritual world, they will be like 90-year-old woman, 90-100-year-old woman, whose teeth are fallen, whose body is full of wrinkles. It will be like that. And even the beauty of Rama or Lakshmi cannot be compared with the beauty of Srimati Radharani. Let's explain. So Srimati Radharani is the most beautiful, and she is the origin of even others. She is the source of Sita, Lakshmi, and all of the Saraswati, all of them come from her originally. She is the original Shakti. And who is Radharani? Radharani is actually a pleasure potency of Krishna, which means the happiness or bliss of Krishna manifests itself as Srimati Radharani. So Radha and Krishna are actually one. But Radha is the expansion of Krishna. Why Krishna expands like that? In order to exchange rasa. That's why he expands as Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is the most beautiful Purusha. There is nobody in comparison to him. Not only beautiful, he is full in all opulences. That's why he is saying, know that, all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from how? But a spark of my splendor. That means if you see anything opulent or beautiful or glorious, you see some beauty somewhere, you see some strength somewhere, you see some opulence somewhere. Anything you see anywhere, what should you immediately think? This is a small spark of Krishna's splendor. Like that we should think. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimat urjitamevava tat tat eva avagacchatvam mama teja amsha sambhavam. Teja amsha means it's a small amsha of my tej. He's saying it's like a small spark of the sun. It's like a small drop of the ocean. Like that the opulences we see in this world is simply a small spark, insignificant spark. So then we will not be mad after the attractions and allurements of the material world. We will know. Actually, it requires a little wisdom to see that even the opulences of this world, they sparkle only for a short period of time. Like you see, when somebody's small child is very beautiful. Child is growing to adolescent age, youth, beauty is still there to some extent. But then afterwards there's a decline in beauty. You will see that. And there are wrinkles in the face. Even the most beautiful people, they gradually start looking uglier and uglier as they grow. After some time when they become 60, 70, 80, they can't move. They become like vegetable. Isn't it? They can't move their hands and legs. How they walk, you've seen. Yeah, everyone becomes like that, even the most beautiful people. You know. So, the beauty in this world fades away, and same thing with strength also. The strongest wrestlers and boxers, where are they? Where do they go? Everyone declines over a period of time. Everything. That means the opulence in this world, it only shows up for a short period of time. All that glitters, that we should always remember. So something is glittering, don't get allured by that. Understand that it glitters for a while. But the original shine, original gold is different. All that glitters is not gold. Krishna is the original gold. And all the people in this world are roll gold. You know this. Like you have seen, you know, the Matajis, they buy these different ornaments, no? Earrings, and imitation gold, isn't it? When you buy in the market, how it looks like? Like train and all they sell, no? You carry this, isn't it? So maybe you can use it one time for marriage, I think. You go for the marriages, you know, you can wear them. And then when you put it in water, they become black after that. I think disposable. Disposable, yeah. Yeah. So our opulence also in this world is like that only. It all fades away over a period of time. It just sparkles for some time. When it is sparkling, people go mad. People think, my Lord, what a beauty, what a strength, what this, what that. People just go mad after that. So an intelligent person understands that this is only sparkling for some time. But why is it sparkling? Because it's a tiny reflection of the original personality, Krishna's opulences. Like that one should understand. So if we become attracted to the temporary sparkling things of the world, then we have to be repeatedly born again and again. In this life I became attracted to something. Then I chase after it. By the fag end of my life I realize there is nothing there. And then I die in disappointment. And again I am born. Again next life I will be chasing. We have been doing this chasing business for so many millions of lifetimes. So one who can give up this hankering, enough of it, just forget it. Let me just focus on Krishna, who is the source of all these opulences. Like that, and when one absorbs oneself in Krishna, then one can experience that real happiness in the heart. Otherwise, that is why Krishna is explaining these opulences. There is no other purpose. The purpose is to take us away from foolish engagements and to help us engage in the right engagement. Just like you see this scavengers, you know, scavengers sometimes they have this sack and they pick up this, you know, papers from the dustbin and all. You have seen that? Sometimes they pick up papers and they put it in the sack, you know, and they consider the sack very, very valuable, you know. They keep on storing more and more dirty things they take out from the garbage dump and they store it. The living entity is exactly like that. The living entity goes around in the world and it picks up, you know, position and possessions, both. Different possessions and different positions he takes and he stores them. And he's very attached to them. I will not leave it, as if it's very valuable. Dirty baggage, which is going to leave at the time of death. Like that. Utterly foolish. So, in this way, everyone is chasing for happiness in this world. But when one understands, Krishna is the source of everything. All opulence, all beauty, all glorious creations. As soon as one sees any beauty, like one disciple was seeing the setting sun, and he was appreciating the beauty of the setting sun. So seeing that he was selling Prabhupada. He was selling Prabhupada, is it alright if a devotee appreciates the beauty of the setting sun? And Prabhupada said, what's the problem? When sun is setting, if it is beautiful, you say, you know, Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo. Light, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. You see the setting sun and you can think of Krishna. What is the difficulty? One time they were standing at the shores of Pacific Ocean, I think. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do you always remember Krishna? It becomes so difficult. Prabhupada said, what's the difficulty? You look at this ocean. They all looked up. And he said, see, if this ocean wants, in one moment, the ocean can swell and submerge the whole city. So much volume of water is available in the ocean, isn't it? But the ocean will not swell beyond its brink. Why? Because Krishna has ordered the ocean. So you should immediately think of Krishna. Krishna, you are protecting me, although I am standing just a few feet away from a vast body of water. You know, so we can think like that. So in this way, a devotee should always think of Krishna. And then he concludes saying, but what need is there, Arjuna, For all this detailed knowledge, with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Now we will see the slideshow. So whatever we heard in the translation now, you will get to see that. You can show it. We can think seed of all existence. Nothing can exist without Krishna. No end to Krishna's manifestations and opulences. And then which we heard now, everything opulent, beautiful, glorious springs from just a spark of Krishna's splendor. And Krishna's single fragment pervades and supports the entire universe. It's a silent show, so you all have to very attentively observe it. Only then you will be able to catch it. Just prepare this, and actually later on I am planning to make one CD where we will have some 15 to 20 shows like this. Then we can give it all of you. You all can see it at your own homes. Some of them could be used for teaching children, and some could be for teaching to our friends. And I already have some shows, but they need to be little, you know, we want to make some sound effect also with music effect and things like that. Once it is done, we can. So it was a good revision, isn't it, after reading it? Srila Prabhupada ki, speak probably next week on this chapter. Seeing Krishna, isn't it? One is to see him through the physical manifestation. At the end of the chapter, there is a commentary where the Acharya say that one should not become simply attracted to the grandeur of Krishna's opulences only, and not become attracted to Krishna. That should not happen. One should be, the opulences should actually bring us to the point of getting attracted to Krishna. So that is the reason why last week when I spoke about the first level of becoming attracted to Krishna. So next week we'll talk little more on that. And then we'll conclude the chapter, then we'll go to Vishwarupa Darshan Yoga, next chapter.